Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And while you're getting there, I wanted to take a moment to thank our mothers for coming out. Hopefully you received your rose when you came in the doors. If not, make sure to grab one of those on the way out. And you sorry sons or husbands that didn't get your mothers anything, those are not for you. Some of you are going to try to sneak one out. We've instructed the ladies. They're going to have weapons, all right? Because if you forgot, you can't make it up, all right? You can't make it up. You're just the loser. But I wanted to challenge you, as far as mothers, before we begin, to not accept the world's, and you would see say that I'm confused here, but don't accept the world's degrading of women in our culture. You would say, well, wait a minute. You know, they always say the liberal mindset is saying that they're uplifting. No, they're degrading women in our society today by creating an unrest, an unsatisfaction in being what God wanted you to be in our society, and that is a good mom. You know, moms at home and dads providing financially for the home, that's a good setting. It's a good setting for the children. And it seems today that a mom raising children in the home is subpar. It's pushed down. You're not given your proper due. You're not valuable. It's an unworthy calling. But I'm kind of confused because for the last 2 weeks, I've been bombarded on the radio, in the newspaper, over and over saying, don't forget your mom. Now, I thought that mom was something that they didn't want to be. I didn't think ladies wanted to be a mom, and they're just telling me over and over, don't forget mom, don't forget mom, even this morning, don't forget mom. Well, part of it is the world has their own agenda. All right, this past week, all over the world, $19 billion was spent on Mother's Day gifts. I'm trying to get in on that. I would just only like to make a 10% of that myself. But the world, why do they want to push mom? It's always the same, isn't it? Because they want to make a buck. The media wants to make money. They don't necessarily like moms. They just like the money. The problem with the world is that they're fickle. What do we mean by that? They're like a ship without a rudder. They don't know which way that they're going. Don't let the world determine your value as a lady. They'll have you killing your babies, dressing sensual, getting more education, and heading to the workforce to be a CEO of a big corporation. But let me ask you this. Have you met one of those ladies? Yeah, they're really happy, aren't they? Oh, they're one of the nastiest, unhappy people in the world. Because guess what? It's empty. But the Bible concept of being a good mom brings a lot of satisfaction. Be a mom and a good one. And if anyone knocks that, ask them how they would have done without a mom in their life. Being a good mom is nothing of which to be ashamed. Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read the first 8 verses. It says here in Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Heavenly Father, I'd ask that this morning, as we look at this passage in Revelation 21, you would help us to understand it. You would open up our minds, our ears. Lord, you would let the Word of God come in, and it would do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the visitors. We thank you for this special day where we celebrate mothers. Lord, we would ask that you would help us to concentrate now on the Word of God. Let it touch our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I've seen some incredibly beautiful places in life. I was able a few years ago to take a trip to Israel. And there's some beautiful scenes there. The church sent us on a trip years ago, and it was on this same trip where we were able to stop in Israel. We were able to stop in Greece. We were able to stop in Rome. I can remember a few years ago, I was able to go over to Germany and preach a VBS and help out with a church there, a military church. And during the day, because the things were in the evening, we were able to take and do some sightseeing almost every day, looking at castles, going over. We went to the town of Bern, Germany. They have a castle that sits up there, and it sits right on the Rhine River. Beautiful settings. You could come to America, and there's some beautiful settings here in America. You can go out west, you can go down south, and then you want to come back north, go out west and see something nice. I'm sorry, there might be something in the south that's nice, we're not sure. But there are some beautiful things and beautiful places. But one day, in our passage here in Revelation 21, we're going to see an amazing place, those of us that are saved. It's a place called heaven. Heaven. And the moment that you see this new Jerusalem, now I don't know what we'll say. I don't know what you will say. There's been all kinds of conjectures. You'll hear people say that when I get to heaven, find me at the feet of Jesus. There's other people that say, boy, I'll be dancing down the streets of gold. I don't know what I'll be doing. I may just stand there in unbelief that I made it. And you may say, well, come on, don't you trust the Word of God? Well, I do trust the Word of God. But it still is amazing, even after 20 years of being in the ministry, after 30-something years of being saved, it's amazing to me that God would send His Son to die for me. And so that's just amazing in itself. But in our text here, we read about an amazing place, heaven. And this morning for Mother's Day, I am offering you an unbelievable gift, Mom. I did it all myself. No, I didn't. I'm going to offer you a new home. A new home. For some of you, this will be a new home. And you say, how can I get this new home? What's heaven? You can have your own home in heaven, brand new. And God here in our text describes it because it's a beautiful place. You know, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of money on Mother's Day. In fact, I just told you, over this past week, $19 billion was spent on Mother's Day. And there's good gifts and bad gifts. Now, still, what I read this past week, the number one worst gift in the world, still, according to polls, is a vacuum. All right, is a vacuum. So if you got that this morning, I'm sorry, you have somebody in your home that's a loser. Okay? And they now understand that they need to get you something else. I read of some other really weird things. There was one mom that she listed out that she got a stale piece of candy left over from Easter. Didn't seem like there was a lot of thought and heart into it. One mom, this is a mom down in San Antonio, Texas, I think it was last year, she received a chainsaw. She received a chainsaw. I think that would be a pretty good gift, right, Sean? I mean, that would be an unbelievable gift that my wife would enjoy. I would kind of like it a little more. But this is what she said. My husband had been wanting it, so he kept telling his family about it. But they thought it was me who wanted it. And so on Mother's Day, he bought it for me, or they bought it for me. So a chainsaw, I don't think that's really a good thing. But what should we think about on Mother's Day? Well, this morning, I'd like us to think about an unbelievable gift, and that is a new home in heaven. Over 500 times, you will see the word heaven in the Bible. Over 500 times. And that's not including some other passages that use different adjectives for the place called heaven. So we know heaven is a real place, and we know that heaven is a place of refreshing, but I want to look at three different ideas this morning about heaven, and then we'll try to draw a conclusion. Because what we would like you to do is be a part of it. We would like you to have a place in heaven, and that's how we will close this morning, showing you that heaven is a place that God wants you to be. He wants you to have a part in heaven. So first of all, in our text, look at verses 19 and 20. 19 and 20. Heaven is a place of riches. Heaven is a place of riches. Look at this. The fifth, or 19, and the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, and it lists them out. So as a place of riches, we're going to take a look at the foundation. Now, building foundations are usually something that is underground. Usually you don't walk up to a place and you're like, whoa, look at the foundation, man. No, you normally don't do that. Why? Because you can't see it. They normally hide it. But in heaven, in this new Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that you can see the foundation. But notice what God included. It's a 12-layered foundation. It says that there is all manner of precious stones. All right, it's jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, an emerald, and it goes down. Now, I looked up because I wasn't sure what all these look like, but I looked up and think of the colors that you can see radiating through this foundation. Jasper is clear crystal. Sapphire is blue. Chalcedony is a greenish blue. Emerald is a deep green. Sardonyx is white with brown streaks. Sardius is blood red. Chrysolite is a yellow quartz. Beryl is green. Topaz is a yellowish green. Chrysoprasus is apple green. Jacinth is blue. And amethyst is purple. Now think of all those colors here in the foundation. And God says, you know what? When I build this heaven, when I build this new Jerusalem, I'm going to make the foundation that you can see it, and I'm going to include all kinds of precious stones. That's just the thing that is at the bottom. The thing that most of us, hey, we're hiding and we don't really care a lot about, God says, I'm going to even make that unbelievably beautiful. Now, in the Bible, you say, why does he include all these colors? Well, there's a word in the Bible called manifold. All right, now that, some of the guys, they were forgetting about Mother's Day right there, and they were thinking about that souped up car. No, we're not talking about that type of manifold. All right, manifold means multiple or unbelievable. Manifold, and the Bible talks about a manifold wisdom. It talks about the manifold glory of God. So even in the foundation, when you see this new Jerusalem and new heaven, you're going to be amazed at the manifold glory and beauty of our God as you come up to it. You see that there's a foundation. But notice, look at the walls, verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man. The wall, what does, he builds a wall around it, right? A large wall. Now, this large wall also helps you and me understand something about heaven. What does a wall represent? A wall represents protection. So in heaven, you can go back to verse 4, and you'll notice, what is God protecting it against? There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There's not going to be any pain. And so here is a place that God is building, and he's protecting it. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable in its majesty, but also it's a place of security and protection. Now, not just anybody can get in there. You know, we call it the angel of death, and part of that is because in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, we see the angel of death coming through. But that angel of death is not allowed in heaven. He has to stay outside. And there are other things that are kept outside. Why? Because God has this beautiful place protected. Look at the gates in verse 21. And the 12 gates, it says here, were 12 pearls. Now notice what else it says. Every several gate was of one pearl. Now maybe there's some ladies, I know my wife, was given some pearls many years ago, and they're beautiful. But I have never seen a pearl that was the size of a gate. I haven't seen it. Now, some of you mothers, maybe that's what you could just drop a hint. You know, drop a little hint and say, hey, I just don't want any pearl. I want the pearl the size of a gate. All right, now, I don't know how in the world this is made, but we serve an unbelievable God, and God says there's 12 gates, and each gate is one pearl. Now, I don't think the gate is that small. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, oh, yeah, it's tricky. That gate, I've seen pearls that are that big. Well, you know, then it would mean that none of us are getting in there. But it's telling us that it's showing the beauty of this new Jerusalem of heaven. We see also in verse 21, look what it says here in verse 21. And the street of the city was what? Pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, most of us understand this. I think those of us that have looked up gold and studied a little bit, it doesn't matter how pure you get gold. In this earth, we can't get it pure enough to be transparent. But they say that pure, the purest of gold is transparent. And the streets of the city are pure gold, transparent. So think of it. The Bible tells it that there is no light in this city, but the light of it is from God. Because we know in the Bible, God is light. So we know that God brings light into the city. And here are the foundations with these 12 different stones. You see the pearl gates, right? That's where we get the pearly gates, the pearl gates. And then the streets are transparent gold, and the light is shining in this city. Can you picture it? Can you picture the beauty? Can you picture all of it as you can? It's hard to take it all in, but this is what God is preparing for us. This is heaven, the new Jerusalem that God is preparing for us. So heaven is a place of riches. But notice, secondly, heaven, look at verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then look at verses 25 through 27. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There's no night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And look at verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, What is the Bible telling you? The Bible's telling you and it's telling me that not only is this heaven is a place of riches, but it's a place of righteousness. It's a place of righteousness. No defilement is allowed there. No sin is allowed there. Nothing that'll cause pain. Nothing that'll cause hurt. It also says, and I think we see this expressed in verse 15, that and in verse 16, the city lieth four square. Now, when you take the measurements here of the city, what it is, according to the measurements, this is a cube, 1,500 miles each direction. In all ways, it's 1,500 miles. That is from here to past Miami, Florida. All right, from here past Miami, Florida, and then you go up that way, you go that way, you go everywhere you can look, it's 1,500 square. It's four square. It's a cube. All right, and the idea is that this is a perfect place. That's why every dimension is the same, because it represents perfection. It represents that nothing is wrong there. So you know what that means? That only the righteous can be there. Only righteousness can be there. Now, I look forward to that. This week, I looked at a couple of things, and it amazes me how wicked our society is. Just read, it was in the Miami Herald this week in Miami, Florida, and they did some research. And they studied a 10-year period. And during that 10-year period, there was about 2,400 deaths, 15 years old and under, from drunk driving. 2,400 deaths. You never hear anything said about alcohol and how wicked it is and how bad it is and what it does to our society. But 2,400 children, and two-thirds of them were killed by a drunk driver in the car. In the car. Now, we're talking about parents, and we're talking about moms specifically, but addressing parents, what kind of parent is that? What kind of responsibility? And sometimes you read the newspaper and it outrages you. Just this past week, they studied in Chicago. And they're always comparing. And Chicago in the month of April had 35 murders. Last year in April, they had 24. I think I just heard in the month of April on the news, I think it was the chief of police getting in and saying how good Chicago is. Well, I don't know about him, but for April, those 35 people that were murdered, I don't think they think it's really good. I'm pretty sure that they're not liking it. But 35 murders. And in fact, in Chicago on April 27th, there was a girl, an 18-year-old, that was taken and put into prison for first-degree murder. She killed her baby out of fear her boyfriend would leave her. She wrapped her newborn in a bag, left him outside to die because she feared the child looked like her ex-boyfriend. And her current boyfriend would leave her, so she left it at a construction site and then went to school and acted like everything was fine. In fact, she copied a picture of an infant from off a website to show people. We live in a wicked society, don't we? We live in a horrible society, and sometimes it just gets overwhelming. But what I can know and what you can know is that if you are on your way to heaven, if you have asked Jesus Christ as your Savior, there will be no unrighteousness there. I will not have to wake up in heaven someday and read the Heavenly Street Journal and look at it and see that, oh, my neighbor on the next block was a murderer. No, it's not allowed. No unrighteousness is allowed in heaven. And you can take comfort in that if you're on your way to heaven. You can take comfort in knowing that someday the ills of this life, the wickedness of this life, will be done. And I can joy in heaven's bliss for eternity. Heaven is a place of righteousness. But look at in our text, it's verse 8 that we want to look at here. Now, heaven is a real place. It's a refreshing place. It's a place of riches. It's a place of righteousness. But look at heaven is a place of restriction. Well, you'd say, man, I don't understand that. Why is it restricted? Well, look at verse 8. Right in the middle of all this description of heaven, and look what it says, but the fearful. That's people that never accepted Christ. They are afraid to take that stand and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then it says, and the abominable. Now, what is that? These have committed abominations. Now, looking in the Bible, you'd say, well, what is somebody that has committed an abomination? Well, in Deuteronomy 17, the Bible calls those that look at astrology and horoscopes as abomination. In Deuteronomy 18, the Bible says those that consult a medium or a witch are abominable, fortune-telling, wizards, communicating with the dead. And Leviticus 18, the Bible calls as an abomination the sin of homosexuality. And Proverbs 20, the Bible says cheating in business. A false balance, the Bible says, an abomination. Proverbs 12 says compulsive lying, a liar, is an abomination. Proverbs 16 says a heart full of pride is an abomination. So what is God saying? Man, there's people that are not allowed in heaven. The fearful, the abominable. Look at the next one, the unbelieving. Actually, I reversed those, the unbelieving. They didn't believe in Christ. They're not believing in the Bible. But look what it says also, and murderers. Do you think there are some people that have murdered in this nation? Oh, yeah. In fact, we've legalized it. It's okay to take that little child. I mean, do you see the irony of this, of the girl that was 18? If she just would have, a couple months ago, walked into a Planned Parenthood place, she could have killed that thing legally. But yet, because, and some of you, you had the same reaction. You're like, what in the world is wrong with our society? I saw it on your face. My word. But yet, if she would have been 2 months earlier, it's okay to kill that. Because it's not a human being. Is it? Is it? Oh, it is. You know it. And here we have in our society that murder, I don't care what society says. We have to understand we follow God's laws. And if I'm going to get into heaven, I need to follow His laws. See, heaven is off limits to a lot of people. Now, is it saying that none of these people can get in? It's not saying that. But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers. What is whoremongering? Whoremongering is all kinds of immoral sexual sins, and that has just wreaked havoc on our society. Whoremongering, sensual sins. But it also lists, notice the next thing, sorcerers. Now, most people would say, well, I'm not involved in sorcery. I'm not involved in witchcraft. But what's interesting, you know what the Greek word, and that's what the New Testament was written in. The New Testament was written in a language called Greek. And the Greek word for sorcerer is pharmacia. Now, do you catch that? Guess what we get from that word? Pharmacy. So you know what the Bible is telling you? Now, it's not saying that if you go and take a pill, you're wrong. But what it is implying is taking drugs wrongfully. That's what it's talking about. It's saying talking about drugs and other chemical dependencies. Now, you ask and you look and think about that as far as yourself. Is our society filled with these type of people? Whoremongers and sorcerers and abominable and the fearful and the unbelieving. Oh man, we have a society of these type of people. and all liars, it says, and idolaters, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is the Bible telling you and I? That these people, those that participate in these, will not have a part in heaven. You'd say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, a few weeks ago we read a verse in James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And you would say, oh man, you know, you were all positive there about the riches. And you were all positive about this real place and the refreshing place. And man, you're all positive that there's no righteousness. But now all of a sudden you say, I can't be there. Yep, it's restrictive. It's restrictive. The Bible says if we offend in one area, we can't be allowed in heaven because the Bible tells us there is no sin. And I know this about myself. If I offended in one area, the Bible says I'm guilty of all, so I'm a sinner. I am. I can't get into heaven. And that is exactly true. I can't get into heaven on my own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let me read this passage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's writing to people that were saved, and this is what he says, and such were some of you, but this is what he continues on, and this is the hope that you have as far as getting into heaven. He says, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Heaven is a restrictive place. But any that have the name of Jesus. Remember the testimony? The testimony about being adopted into a family? That's what we're talking about. You see, my name, myself, I was born a sinner. I was born into the devil's family. But one day, many years ago, I realized that on my own, I couldn't get to heaven. I was doomed. I wanted to go to that beautiful place called heaven, but I was doomed. I couldn't get there on my own. Then I found out that somebody a long time ago came down from heaven and he gave up his place in heaven. And he took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him manhood. And he came to this earth. And we celebrated his death and resurrection a couple weeks ago on Easter. But Jesus, when he died and when he rose again, what did he do for you and I? He made a way for us to get into heaven. Because now when I come to heaven, it is not on my own merit. It is because I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been sanctified by Jesus' blood. I have been justified by Jesus. By his death, I can have a place in heaven. Now, for you and I, as we sit here this morning then, my question is, if you were going to go somewhere and you were going to move, maybe you were going to buy a house, you'd research, right? If you're going to move to Chesterton, if you're going to move to Indianapolis, Indiana, if you're going to move out west to Colorado, wherever, you would research it and you would find out what this morning, we found a place that is unbelievable to live. Oh man, the streets are gold. They're transparent. We found a place that no wrong is ever allowed there. In fact, it has a wall around it and it's protected. Boy, what a beautiful place. We researched it. But now I got to make it, make a way for myself to move there. And the way that you're going to get there is not on your own good. The Bible tells me that I can have a reservation in heaven. I can have a mansion. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this when he was here on this earth. He was talking to just his disciples, and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Oh, I want one of those places. I want it reserved for me. Well, let me tell you, you can't work your way on this list. You can't work your way. It says in the Bible, it's not by works of righteousness that you'll ever receive this home. It's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. It's been paid in full. And you can have this opportunity this morning. What do you have to do? You got to bow before God. Humbly admit that you're a sinner. I don't deserve that place in heaven. I know I'm a sinner. I'm an abominable sinner. I'm an unbelieving sinner. I'm a fearful sinner. You can go down the list. I'm a sinner. But Jesus Christ paid the debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. You can have a place in heaven. You have to bow before him. Is that such a hard thing? Is it a hard thing to bow before God, before a Savior that took your sins, and admit that you're a sinner? Is it such a hard thing? And he'll take that burden of sin away. Come to Christ. That would be the greatest Mother's Day gift of all. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes this morning.